ZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A ceasefire and hostage release deal announced today by Qatar and the U.S. between Israel and Hamas. It includes the release of more than 30 hostages held captive since the October 7th attacks. ABC's Ian Pannell is in Tel Aviv with more.
While phase one is underway, negotiations have to start for phase two of the deal and then eventually for phase three. So it's a complicated process. I would say it's very fragile.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office, in a statement moments ago, said the prime minister will not make an official announcement until final details of the agreement, which are currently being worked on, are finalized. President Biden, who commended negotiators for their hard work on talks, delivers his final address to the nation from the Oval Office tonight. The CDC has confirmed a positive bird flu case in a child in San Francisco. It's the second child infected with bird flu in the U.S. The first was also a child from California. This is ABC News.
Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The case documented in the Netflix series Making a Murderer will not get another hearing. The state appeals court said Stephen Avery's appeal argument that there is an alternate suspect responsible for the murder of Teresa Halbach does not have sufficient facts to open an appeal. Avery, along with his nephew Brendan Dassey, are serving life sentences for the 2005 murder of Halbach. Avery has attempted to appeal his conviction and get a new trial multiple times. This latest ruling can be appealed to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. If it's not appealed, the next action in the case could include a motion asking for scientific testing related to evidence found on Halbach's vehicle. That motion has been on hold pending the appeals court ruling. Brendan Dassey will be able to ask for parole in 2048. Dassey appealed his conviction to the United States Supreme Court. The justices declined to hear his case. Dr. Kevin Spencer is a magician and an illusionist. He's also considered an authority on the educational and therapeutic benefits of magic tricks in education and rehabilitation, which is why when he brings his magic to the Grand Oshkosh this week, he doesn't just stay on the stage.
We've got lots of activities. I'm going to be working in some of the schools.
Great.
I'm going to address the Oshkosh Police Department on the impact of secondary trauma for first responders. So all of my work is kind of centered around disability and the impact of trauma, or working with people with histories of trauma.
Spencer has shows at the Grand Oshkosh on Friday and Saturday, January 17th and 18th. He made his comments on the Mino and the Mayor show. Find it at WISS.FM. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
The Bucks topple the Kings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks took command in the first quarter and beat the Sacramento Kings 130-115. Giannis Antetokounmpo with his 50th career triple-double on getting off to a fast start.
We had like a pace about us, I think, in the first quarter. And we would just make shots, too. I think we scored like 45 points, 47 points in the first light.
47, yeah.
So that's good.
In Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers beat the Ohio State Buckeyes 70-60. That was Greg Gard's 200th career win as head coach. Marquette, on the road in Chicago, went into overtime with DePaul, but pulled out an 85-83 win over the Blue Demons. In the NFL, Packers quarterback coach Tom Clements announcing he's decided to retire. He is 71 years old. Running back A.J. Dillon says he'll return stronger than ever. Dillon spent all of last season on IR with a neck stinger. He's set to become a free agent. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A patch or two of freezing drizzle or flurries possible this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight and rising temps through the 20s. Warmer tomorrow, more clouds, a high in the mid-30s. Upper 30s Friday. For the weekend, much colder temperatures and a bitter breeze. Currently 21 degrees.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain.
Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first.
Wait, have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going...
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author Jody Hinman into the studio. Then director Anders Lindwall joins the show to discuss his film Green and Gold. That's how you light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. I am your host, Dom Salvia. Thank you for sticking around with us. Just PS is on the board. Our co-host of the day, Matt Rothschild. You might know him from the Progressive Magazine, formerly of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, a civic media contributor and friend of ours. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's always fun, especially on a big news day.
Big news day. We're going to move on from the Gaza ceasefire hostage deal. We have lots of Trump folks that are getting their Senate hearings today, the least of which was Pam Bondi. I think it was like five or six today, or a lot going on today. So
full
we got a
full schedule.
A full schedule. So we got to pick and choose, and I think Bondi is the one of import. I did see the Secretary of State candidate.
Rubio.
Senator Rubio from Florida. They're all going to skate through. I saw a statistic of how many candidates get rejected, and it was like 3%. And like the candidates for the party in power hasn't been rejected like 100 years. I mean, so these folks are generally going to slide through. Pam Bondi, she was a former attorney general for the state of Florida. Also did some other work overseas, representing lots of folks. So, you know, person's got to make some money. Don't hold that against them. Matt, did you happen to see the testimony today? And I was,
yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I saw about an hour and a half of it. One funny thing was that she said, "Make America safe again." I swear to God, at least 35 times. Oh, might have been more. You'd have to check the transcript. But it got really silly. And then she one of the worst things, a couple really horrible things. One, she wouldn't flat out say that Joe Biden won the 2020 election. Even to this day, if you're a Trump sycophant, you cannot admit that Trump lost that election. Otherwise, you know, he'd dump you. And it's just ridiculous that she can't admit that 2 + 2 = 4 and that Biden won it fair and square. She talked about, you know, something going on in Pennsylvania. She visited Pennsylvania, and then she couldn't cite any specifics about what was going wrong in Pennsylvania. Again, you know, just, oh, I heard there were some bad things going on there, or I saw bad things. Well, what were the bad things? And there's nothing there.
There was
that
nothing.
That was crazy.
There.
And also about the effort that Trump made, especially in the notorious conversation with the Georgia Secretary of State Raffensperger. She said she'd never even heard that actual conversation.
We've got that audio. That was just,
let's play that, because it's totally unbelievable.
It is absolutely unbelievable. And then the hill you're going to die in is that Biden is the president. No, did he win the election? No, he's the president. I mean, it's such splitting hairs, and goes to show you, if you have someone in that position that is, let's call it, afraid or not willing to acknowledge that in those very specific terms, of course she's going to bend to the will of Donald Trump. And that's the takeaway. That's what all that means. I was struck, and I did get to see parts of it off and on, Chuck Grassley, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Oh, my God.
All right, so I'm not going to knock a guy who's 91 3 months plus old. Not 91. He showed 91 years.
Every second of it, though.
Come on, man. Move along, dude. Go just... live your life. Be with the great, great, great grandkids. I mean, you know, whatever it is. But chairing this committee, okay, people can do it. I guess he's going to do it. He did it. But what he did, what he said, the way he spoke about the Department of Justice being weaponized. And talked in terms like Donald Trump did absolutely zero, nothing wrong ever, ever, ever. And this was all just a basically, and he didn't say the words that I heard, but essentially agreeing with Trump. This is a witch hunt. This is weaponized justice. Never should happen. Oh, there you go. He went through his wife's underwear drawer. I mean, yeah, you know what? When the guy's been saying for over a year, yeah, you have all of our secret documents, and he's been lying the whole time. His lawyers go out there and say, yes, you have everything. And it comes to come to find out, no, you actually don't. And they actually have to go through finally because the guy's a lying bastard and won't give the stuff back. They got to go and find it. And we saw the pictures, not necessarily of the drawers, but we did see the boxes, you know, hoarded in the bathroom, stacked up. In the tub shower, stacked up past the curtain, we saw that happen.
To say nothing of January 6th. I mean, I read Jack Smith's whole report. I mean, the evidence is a mile high here.
Yeah,
that this guy committed crimes that he should have been prosecuted for if it weren't for the U.S. Supreme Court giving him a get out of jail free card. So, and they act like nothing was happening, like that it was all just a political. They were vendetta against Donald Trump when, you know, he was the first president who tried to overthrow our government.
And Matt, I want to get, we'll perhaps reflect on the Jack Smith report, but let's stay on target. Maybe we'll get to that after this. 855-752-4842. Just doing all the hard work.
Yeah.
I just sit here and look good. Just cuts it all up. Thank you, Jess. Appreciate it. Pam Bondi at the Senate Judiciary Committee. Dick Durbin, a Democrat from Illinois. And I got to give all these folks. We got sound from Dick Durbin, Senator Mazie Hirono from Hawaii, and newly appointed Senator Adam Schiff from California. Now, Schiff maybe went off the, I don't know if he went off the rails. He's very Adam Schiffy. But I thought the folks were very measured in their discussions. And I want to get your take on it as well. Dick Durbin starting out. This one's a little bit longer, 2 minutes, 30 seconds. But it gives you the flavor. And the very, very important question, the one that I wanted answered when we found out that Pam Bondi was going to be the candidate for Attorney General. Who won the 2020 election? Senator Durbin asking Pam Bondi. Let's hear it, Jess.
At issue, I believe, in this nomination hearing is not your competence nor your experience.
True.
At issue is your ability to say no. More than any other cabinet official, the Attorney General has to be prepared to put the Constitution first and even tell the President of the United States you're wrong. The political danger and personal costs of such a decision are well documented. You have only to ask former Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Bill Barr, whom Donald Trump sacked for lack of loyalty. And so I have three basic questions I'd like to ask you. Most Americans believe that central to the peaceful transition of power in a democracy is the acceptance of the results of an election. To my knowledge, Donald Trump has never acknowledged the legal results of the 2020 election. Are you prepared to say today under oath without reservation that Donald Trump lost the presidential contest to Joe Biden in 2020?
Ranking Member Durbin, President Biden is the President of the United States. He was duly sworn in, and he is the President of the United States. There was a peaceful transition of power.
What?
President
really?
Trump
peaceful?
Left office and really? Was overwhelmingly
once
elected
he left office.
In 2024.
Overwhelmingly?
Do you have any doubts that Joe Biden had the majority of votes, electoral votes, necessary to be elected president in 2020?
You know, Senator, all I can tell you as a prosecutor is from my firsthand experience. And I accept the results. I accept, of course, that Joe Biden is president of the United States. But what I can tell you is what I saw firsthand when I went to Pennsylvania as an advocate for the campaign. I was an advocate for the campaign. And I was on the ground in Pennsylvania. And I saw many things there. But do I accept the results? Of course I do. Do I agree with what happened? And I saw so much You know, no one so from much. Either side of the aisle should want there to be any issues with election integrity
so much?
In our country. We should all want our elections to be free and fair and the rules and the laws to be followed.
I think that question deserved a yes or no. And I think the length of your answer is an indication that you weren't prepared to answer yes.
No, she's not prepared to answer yes. She will never answer yes. And to her point, again, I've been a little bit critical. You know, it's easy for us here after the fact. Oh, you believe that we should have free and fair elections. Was the 2020 election a free and fair election? You know what I mean? Come on. A little bit more from Dick Durbin. Again, this is the Raffensperger question. Hey, you gotta, when Trump was on the phone to Georgia election officials, you got to find me 11,780 votes. Oh, the answer, wholly insufficient. Let's play cut two, please, yeah, Jess.
Totally unbelievable.
Have you heard the recording of President Trump on January 2nd, 2021, when he urged the Secretary of State of Georgia to, quote, find 11,780 votes and declare him the winner of that state?
No, I've heard about it through clips, but no, Senator, I've not heard it.
What was your reaction to President Trump making that call?
I would have to listen to the tape, Senator.
What?
Well, the quote everyone that I give you is that exact. He said to the Georgia Secretary of State, find 11,780 votes.
Do you have the entire context of that call? I feel like it was long, much longer than that and may have been taken out of context.
It was an hour long.
Out of context.
You can certainly listen to it. I hope you will. Every American should. As a former prosecutor, are you not concerned that the President of the United States called a state election official and asked him to find enough votes to change the results of the election?
Senator, I have not listened to the hour-long conversation, but it's my understanding that is not what he asked him to do.
Oh, my God.
You need to listen to
it. It's exactly what he asked him to do.
I mean, that is...
And then he said if Trump told him that if he doesn't go along with it, he might be committing a crime and get in trouble for not finding those 11,800.
Oh, yeah, you want to hear it in the full context? Yeah, please play the additional threats that Trump leveled against these local election officials or state election officials. Oh, it might be out of context. Oh, you don't know enough. You haven't heard anything to comment on Trump saying, your boss saying, find me 11,780 votes, but you heard enough about it to know that it might be out of context. You know enough about it that it was an hour-long conversation. You seemingly know a lot about this conversation that you're not talking about. This is not about her competency or her experience. It's her lack of spine and her willingness to bend a knee to Donald Trump.
And this, you know, and again, she also was asked about whether what she thought about Trump saying that the rioters on January 6th were patriots. And again, she said, I'm not familiar with that statement. I mean, all this stuff is just
It seems
totally...
like potentially she's not familiar with a lot of material that she really needs to be.
Well, I mean, not familiar with the stuff, the crazy things that her boss has said, that the folks that attacked the police officers, the Capitol police officers in D.C. are patriots. That they're hostages. Oh, I haven't heard that. You know,
she represented him in his second impeachment.
She has no idea what you're talking about. That's a great point. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Jess P.S. with the great points. Matt Rothschild joining me today as well. You see folks lining up on the phones and the text, 855-752-4842, 855-75-7. Coming back with your comments, plus a couple more senators talking to Pam Bondi.
Not to put too fine a bond on it. Say I'm the only.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WISCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WISCaregiver.com.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Florida, former Florida AG Pam Bondi speaking to the Senate Judiciary Committee today, her nomination to be the United States Attorney General. I just got to say, I love the Guns N' Roses. I'm wearing my Guns N' Roses shirt right now, and that song, Rocket Queen. I mean, literally, that song's almost 40 years old. I mean, you got to be kidding. Oh, I know. It's like 38 years old. Just a little dating. I know, Matt, sometimes we feel old. When I think about that, I mean, I'm feeling really old. 855-752-4842. Texters, callers always get priority. Mark, you've been the most patient. Welcome to the show, man. What do you got?
Yeah, thanks. And I think I saw something that refreshed in my memory. I looked at today that Pam Bondi had some kind of forgiveness of Trump over the whole Trump U thing, and she got $25,000 contributed to a campaign, and I can't help but think, that what the ancients thought of, judges taking bribes, accepting bribes.
It wasn't a bribe. It was a donation to her campaign. It was 15 or 25. I think, yeah, you're right. It might be 25,000. Donald Trump also gave it illegally. He was fined, I think, a 10% fee on top of that. It may have been from one of his charities. Anyway, so she declined to get in on the action. And in doing so, left out the citizens of Florida from collecting from the fraud from Trump University.
And I can't think about how long this is going to be before we start referring to Trump, and the he'll insist on being referred to the presidency in the 18th century, moniker of His Excellency the President of the United States, or rather than obedience to Donald Trump, it's going to be obeisance to Donald Trump, and we're going to grovel down before him like they do in the old Oriental court.
Come on, man! I don't grovel to anybody. I mean, President fraudster, President rapester. Sure, we can go down that road, and anyone who has a problem with me saying those things, well, maybe shouldn't vote for a fraudster or a rapist. Yeah, I said it. 855-752-4842. Jack from the Mac, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, just an observation on my hearing, some of the hearings today. It seems that Bondi was asked specifically, if President Trump tells you to do something illegal, will you say, no, I can't do that, like Billy Barr did before you, and I can't remember Barr's predecessor, but he was also fired for doing the same thing, saying, no, I can't do that, it's illegal. Will you do that? And guess what answer she gave? None.
I won't answer a hypothetical. Jack, thanks for the call. A lot of concerns about hypotheticals, and I didn't hear that, and maybe it's out of context, and those kinds of responses. Again, and thanks, but Jack, totally unacceptable for an attorney general.
Right. The problem I have, though, with that is after the U.S. Supreme Court decision, you know, if Trump tells her to do something, it's by the fact that he told her to do it, it's legal.
Yeah.
That's the crazy universe we're living in right now.
Yeah. And that is, we're going to find out, you know, we're going to find out. This is what we, some of us wanted, you know, less than 50% of the voters wanted this. And we're going to find out. 855-752-4842. Mark from Sussex, he texts in, he's prolific here today. He says, just an embarrassment for Democrats the last 2 days. Shameful. He goes on to say that Bondi kicked butt today. And also, can always tell when Dom gets heated. Speed up and talk louder. So simple to read him. Mark, yes, I am simple to read, man. When I get fired up, I get loud and I talk fast. Yeah. Amazing. You don't have to fake it with me, Mark. Shameful. The criticisms of folks like Mark and the conservatives on how the Democrats have been addressing, and specifically what we've dived into, the Pete Hegseth yesterday, Pam Bondi, we have some more cuts from there today. Matt, do you think that the Democrats' conversations and inquiries to these nominations have been shameful?
I wouldn't say shameful. I wish they were stronger, though. I mean, I got to agree there with Mark that, you know, Durbin was kind of gentlemanly lawyer-like in his approach. White House, I saw a little bit. I thought he was going to be a little stronger. He sounded like he was going to be tougher, and it wasn't, that strong. Hirona, I thought, was strong. She probably was the strongest and most showed the most appropriate disdain. That's what I wanted. Just, you know, enough of you're not answering my questions. I'm not buying it for a minute. I got that attitude from her, and I like that about it. And I wanted more of that.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's the upper chamber. It's the more distinguished chamber. So they're they try to ease up a bit. Let's squeeze in Senator Hirono if we can, please. Let's play the one cut.
Next segment. Wait,
come on, man. We got a minute. Are you kidding me?
All right, fine.
Thank you.
I do have questions and concerns about potential conflicts of interest, about whether you will keep DOJ's law enforcement responsibilities independent of the president's political whims, and about whether you will let facts and evidence guide your decisions. So let's start with the importance of facts, which you say is important. Ms. Bondi, we want an attorney general who bases decisions on facts. So I want to ask you a factual question. Who won the 2020 presidential election?
Joe Biden is the president of the United States.
What a wimp.
Ms. Bondi, you know that there is a difference between acknowledging it. And, you know, I can say that Donald Trump won the 2024 election. I may not like it, but I can say it. You cannot say who won the 2020 presidential election.
She can't say it. She won't say it. It's disturbing. It is disturbing, and yeah. She should be disqualified for the role. She was out there as an election denier, and now she's going to be the Attorney General of the United States. Folks, stick around. Come back with us more on the Adam Schiff, Senator Schiff, also asking questions of Pam Bondi. Your calls, your text, 855-752-4842.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Good news in the aftermath of the Abundant Life Christian School shooting. The two victims still in the hospital have now been upgraded to good condition. The day of the shooting, the two students were in critical condition, and around Christmas, they were in fair condition. This may be the last update on them for a while from UW Health, who said now that they're in a good place in their recovery, the hospital will prioritize the patient's privacy. The State Assembly approved a bill Tuesday that would put to Wisconsin voters a new amendment to the state constitution that requires a photo ID in order to vote. The legislation passed by a 54-45 margin. It puts the proposed amendment before the voters during the April 1st election. The measure was supported by the Assembly's Republican majority and received no votes from the Democratic state legislators. There is a state law already that requires a photo ID, and it was passed in 2011. Republicans are pushing to enshrine the measure into the state constitution to safeguard it from being struck down by the Wisconsin Supreme Court's liberal majority. According to the Associated Press, Wisconsin is one of nine states that requires voters to present a photo ID to cast a ballot. The Wisconsin DNR confirms the first positive test result for chronic wasting disease in a wild deer in Manitowoc County. A hunter harvested the one-year-old buck south of the Valders area within 10 miles of the Calumet and Sheboygan County borders. Because of the detection, a state-authorized baiting and feeding ban will go into effect for Manitowoc County on February 1st. Calumet County will renew a two-year baiting and feeding ban that's already in place, and Sheboygan County already has a three-year baiting and feeding plan in place for positive detections. Find out more about CWD at the DNR's webpage. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Seven-time Super Bowl champ and one-time husband, Tom Brady, has come under fire all year long for his on-air gaffes while providing color commentary during NFL games. During last week's game between the Packers and Eagles, Brady accidentally referred to the Eagles as the Phillies, then later in the broadcast referred to Packers running back Josh Jacobs as Brandon Jacobs. This comes on the heels of Brady forgetting the name of one of the teams that beat the Packers during a recent telecast. In addition to Brady misspeaking, when his broadcast partner talks to him, he often nods his head so much, a viewer could get vertigo. Yeah, he's not that great, but people on social media are losing their minds over his missteps. Word to the wise, if it's brilliant elocution you're looking for, don't try to find it on an NFL pregame broadcast from the guy who took shots to the head well into his middle age. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A patch or two of freezing drizzle or flurries possible this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight and rising temps through the 20s. Warmer tomorrow, more clouds, a high in the mid-30s. Upper 30s Friday. For the weekend, much colder temperatures and a bitter breeze. Currently 21 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all. In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition. Jeff Wright, candidate for Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instructions, will be here live. We'll spend a half an hour getting to know him and why he wants the job. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You believe in
price you had to pay. I can't remember when it happened.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Jess P.S. on the board, trying to keep me on track, doing the best she can. Thank
I'm
you, Jess.
I'm trying, man.
Matt Rothschild at the desk as well. You folks on the lines, 855-75-CIVIC. The original Claire, she texts in, hey, Dom. Senator Hirono rocks. I was very impressed. Yes, she is lighting it up. Steve chimes in, the lineup for musicians at the inauguration, I definitely won't be watching. Is super Confederate to me. Agree? Question mark. Well, Steve, perhaps we'll get there as well. We have a little bit more from the testimony today. Testimony conversations. The Senate Judiciary Committee grilling Pam Bondi, Trump's pick to be the attorney general. Our final cut of the day, Senator Adam Schiff, you know, Donald Trump's favorite, Shifty Schiff, all the names. Schiff.
One of the enemies from within.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see if Pam Bondi comes after Adam Schiff. I mean, this is some intrigue going on here. If you think that, the, you know, the J6 committee and these efforts by the Democrats to somehow, some way, in the only way they can, outside of the judiciary, to hold these folks accountable for their, you know, attempt to overthrow the government. Call it what you want. That's what I call it. You could call it seditious conspiracy. You call it treason. But we all can agree that he got away with it. Here is Adam Schiff speaking hard to Bondi, questioning the hard truths to the president. Let's play cut three, please.
My questions now are, can you tell hard truth to the president? So let me start with an easy truth that you could speak to the president. Can you tell us, can you tell him that Donald Trump lost the 2020 election? Can you say that? Do you have the independence to say that? Do you have the gravitas, the stature, the intestinal fortitude to say, Donald Trump, you lost the 2020 election? Can you tell us that here today?
Senator, what I can tell you is I will never play politics. You're trying to engage me in a gotcha. I
what?
Won't
just
do it.
You a simple
I won't play
if you
politics
can speak truth
with any ongoing
to power.
Investigation.
So let me ask you another.
Like you did leaking
let
me, your colleague
you,
Devin Nunes's memo.
If you can't answer the question, let me ask you a different, what should be a simple truth, not a hard one. Was there massive fraud affecting the result of the 2020 election, yes or no?
Senator, I'm glad you asked that question, if you'll let me answer what I saw in Pennsylvania.
No, I asked a simple question about massive fraud.
I can only tell you massive, what I saw
no,
in Pennsylvania.
I know you want to answer a different question, but my question is, can you tell us whether there was massive fraud affecting the results of the 2020 election, yes or no? Was there or was there not?
I can tell you what I saw when I went
that's
as an
not
advocate
my, that's not
to
my
the
question.
Campaign.
So you can't answer that question. You can't speak that even easy truth to us, let alone to the president.
Easy truths sometimes aren't so easy. You know, truth is sometimes the hardest thing to swallow. That's why a lot of folks like to eat up the lies. I'm talking to you, Mega. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, she wouldn't answer his questions. She can't, you know, to this day admit that Trump lost fair and square against Joe Biden. She keeps mentioning Pennsylvania. I still haven't heard the specifics. I wish she had gotten time to talk about what the specifics were.
What specifics?
I don't think she's got any, but she keeps throwing it out there. So it's kind of horrifying to me that the next Attorney General of the United States can't just admit, you know, that the sky is blue and 2 + 2 = 4.
The Washington Post reporting, while discussing her work in Pennsylvania, Bondi seemed to make a point to emphasize that she was serving as an advocate for Trump. Interesting. Quote, what I can tell you is what I saw firsthand when I went to Pennsylvania as an advocate for the campaign. I was an advocate for the campaign, and I was on the ground in Pennsylvania, and I saw many things there. Many, many things. Yeah, and stuff. There were stuff and things and issues and lots of things that I can't articulate for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things.
Mm-hmm. Too many
60
stuffs.
Court cases that
all
they
the
lost.
Things.
60 plus court cases that they lost. A recount that happened here, right here in the state of Wisconsin, Dane County, Milwaukee County. The result of that recount in Milwaukee, anyway, Trump got less votes. You know what I mean? So this is the, and I wonder historically, Matt, how this is going to play out. You know, we talked about Reagan earlier and the Iran-Contra and some folk, or not Iran, the Iranian hostages in the Carter and Reagan election. A lot of folks apparently not aware of those things. The Iran-Contra issue, as you talked about earlier. A lot of folks aren't aware of that. Or even if there's some story out there, well, it wasn't as bad as I thought. I mean, this is the active, as we're listening to it, the rewriting of history by these folks that Donald Trump is going to put into these positions of power. They're doing it actively. Hell, Chuck Grassley started out by rewriting history. Matt,
It's not going to work ultimately, though. Historians are going to say this is the worst guy who was ever president of the United States, that he was committing insurrection or treason against our democracy. And that's why Jack Smith did us all a service by publishing that report. In one sense, he was trying to defend what he did. In another sense, I think he was just laying it out for future historians. When you're looking back at this period 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 50 years from now, what happened actually? You know, because there's all this smoke about, oh, there was nothing there. There was a fire there. And Jack Smith was the one who was, pointing to it. And, I just read that report. I think he did a great job in pointing out all the crimes that Trump could have been convicted of if it weren't for the U.S. Supreme Court.
50 years or 100 years from now, when our descendants are rummaging through the burning rubble of our democracy, they'll find that Donald Trump did something way back in the day to no consequence. We'll get to that as well. Folks, your calls are welcome right now, 855-752-4842. Pam Bondi, not about her competence, not about her experience. It's about her undying loyalty to the orange man. Very concerning. L.A. Tom, you are up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Yeah, it'll be interesting if we even have civics or history to actually look back at in the future, since we didn't have civics since Reagan. It's just, I'm so, Dominic, I don't know if it's these fires or what that get my emotions going so much, but the thing is, I am so sick of Republicans pushing back on things, and Democrats don't. Even our commentators, Matt, I'm sorry, like you, Dr. Craig, nobody pushes back. Everyone tries to be sensible and let's look at this. No, and what did the Democrats do wrong? We never, ever, nor right now.
Okay, hang on, Matt. Mike, let me ask you. We played some of the sound of the senators, and I thought between yesterday and today, Mazie Hirono, the senator from Hawaii, I thought Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth, but Dick Durbin did a pretty decent job, and he was pretty calm about it. Wasn't freaking out, wasn't yelling, wasn't swearing. But do you think that the folks that are asking the questions of these nominations are doing a good job?
I mean, I thought Durbin could have been tougher. I wanted him to be tougher. I wanted White House even to be tougher. I don't know why L.A. Tom took a stray shot at me. I've been criticizing the Democrats for not being tough for you.
L.A. Tom, come on, man. What do you say? Yeah, go ahead.
The reason why is because of the fact that Joe Biden has been working on this deal for a year and a half in terms of his issue that was happening. Netanyahu is the one that's been dragging his feet this whole time until Trump became the winner. These people in Michigan and other places, and I'll say the far left, are the ones that actually lost us this election because of this whole Gaza thing.
No, that's crazy.
But the thing that I will say this, why are the Democrats not on fire right now about the idea that they may not put the flags at half mast for Jimmy Carter? This is something that should just be something that if this happened on the Republican side where Ronald Reagan, they weren't going to put the flags at half mast for him for 30 days. Oh my God. It would be the end of the world.
Well, yes, Tom, but those were the old days, man. And this is the new day. And I'm not sure that's the hill that people want to die on. Matt, your thoughts.
Yeah, there are more things to be outraged about than that issue. But look at the far left did not cost Kamala Harris the election here. The issue in Gaza did not cost the election. Maybe in Michigan it hurt her. But I'm not going to fault any Palestinian American who didn't vote for Kamala Harris because their aunts and uncles or nieces and nephews were being slaughtered in Gaza. I'm not going to blame them for not voting for Kamala Harris. Look, if I was one of them, I might not have voted for Kamala Harris either.
And the response, of course, then is, well, what, you're going to vote for Donald Trump? Is that going to help out your Palestinian relations anymore? Again, you know, we're not personally involved in, you know, war and hostage taking and death and destruction and the murder of women and children. Always bad. There's no upside to that. But we run elections. We live in a political world, and those things are interpreted by the electorate, and they make those decisions. And we'll see if it ends up being better or worse in the next 4 years. I mean, elections have consequences, as they say. Matt, 855-752-4842. Nick from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for getting me. Sorry, I just finished a Dorito, so I'm swallowing.
Cotton mouth? Come on, man. Take a swig. You're fine. What are your thoughts?
No. It's all good, man. But, what I wanted to say was, you know, and this is what I said to Maggie earlier in the day, is that Donald Trump is a horrible president. Kamala Harris would be a horrible president. This is the best we can do? Seriously? This is the best we can do? This is the best we have to offer?
Go ahead, Matt. I wouldn't make any analogy between Trump and Kamala Harris. Let me stand up for Kamala Harris for a second, because I thought she ran a real classy, dignified campaign. She worked her tail off. She beat the living crap out of Donald Trump during that debate. Anyone who watched it has got to conclude that, you know, Trump just got demolished there. She did come out with some issues that would help people in the working class, including, you know, trying to get at the price gouging at the supermarket and building new homes for people because we have a housing crisis. She acknowledged that. I thought she ran an admirable campaign. I would have changed some things in hindsight, but hindsight's, you know, 2020. So I'm not going to stand here and listen to Nick, you know, trash Kamala Harris.
No question. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And if you look at Kamala Harris's resume as it pertains to public service, you know, coming up in California, prosecutor or attorney general of California, becoming a senator from California, becoming a vice president and eventually a presidential nominee. Those things don't just happen. Circumstantially, certainly, you know, Biden could have got out. I mean, this thing could have been entirely different if Joe Biden was stuck to his guns and became the bridge that he said he was going to be. And unfortunately, he decided he was not only the bridge, he was going to be the highway after the bridge. And that ship wasn't sailing, man. And I don't care what Biden says, he would not have won, not coming off of that debate. So Annie from Watertown, she texts in leading reason folks didn't vote, Gaza. A lot of folks didn't vote, Matt. I think that was a big disappointment. Again, considering the stakes in this election. Now, Annie thinks that one of those reasons was because of the Gaza situation. Perhaps was it to that percentage? You know, I don't know if I would agree with that statistic. But at the end of the day, man, millions of people stayed home, Matt.
Yeah, they stayed home. Maybe some stayed home because of Gaza. But if you look in the polls on issues, Gaza was down at like 14% as the most important issue, somewhere in that range. Whereas the economy, inflation, those were at the top. Immigration was high, too. Those were the two biggest issues. So I got to think people didn't think the Democrats had enough answers on the big issues that were affecting their lives or that they were scared about.
And they believed what the Republicans were selling them. Let's just be honest about it. Donald Trump is a hell of a spokesman. He is a hell of a grifter, and he convinced folks. And now we'll see. Are they going to hold Donald Trump's feet to the fire? Is Donald Trump going to do in the very first day? Is the Ukraine war going to end now that this is happening? Is Russia pulling back out of Ukraine? What happens to the price of eggs? Where's inflation? Inflation is, you know, we're not going to maybe get those interest rate cuts from the Fed if the economy stays where it's at and the inflation rate stays where it's at and slightly increasing. That's going to be on Donald Trump. Will he get the blame or the credit? Well, he certainly should. Come back with us one final segment, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government
buy-in for the people. Our recent reporting explored the massive contributions to Donald Trump's inaugural fund, reportedly reaching $170 million. What are the rules as to how that money is spent? The short answer is, there aren't any. The Federal Election Commission allows private donations to support inaugural activities. This year, that's a parade, a rally, two luncheons, a tea, three dinners, three inaugural balls, and fireworks at Trump's Sterling Golf Club. The FEC requires reporting of donations over $200, but sets no limits or dictates how it's used. Let's say that the Trump inauguration has 12 events and they cost an astronomical $2 million each, a whopping $24 million. That leaves $146 million left. When the inauguration is over, will we know how the leftover money will be used? We won't. While a Trump campaign source told the New York Times some would be used for Trump's presidential library, there are no rules dictating how that money is used. The Inaugural Fund Integrity Act is expected to be reintroduced in Congress in January, which would set a limit of $50,000, require immediate disclosure of contributions over $1,000, and ban corporate and super PAC donations. That's a start, but the legislation still doesn't require disclosure of how that extra money gets spent. Find out more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, final segment of the day. If you got something to say, feel free to hit us up, 855-752-4842, 855-757. We've been trying to, and sometimes I forget. End.
Every time, Dom.
It's got to be on the wall. It's got to be on the board. It's got to be right in front of me all the time. Tell us something good. We want to end the show on a high note, something positive. Tell us something good. I know, Jess, you and Matt were scheming behind my back today. So what's the status?
Well, I asked for some poetry because Matt has just wonderful collections of poetry. He's curated just this wonderful library of poetry that can help us to find some wisdom in the world and find some peace. So,
you know, I did, when I was editor at the Progressive Week, one of the favorite things I did was publish one original poem a month. And so Jody Vandermolen and I would look at the manuscripts and we'd have, you know, 30. We wouldn't say what the poet's name was because we wanted to be blind and reading it and not be influenced. Oh, this person's got a name, that person doesn't. And it was really rewarding just to pick an original poem every month, especially from someone who we didn't know before or didn't have a big reputation, and just publish that. Although we were able to get some great poets in there, like Martina Spada and others as well. And June Jordan wrote for us too. So anyway, poetry has been a love of mine. Birds are a long-standing love of mine. We have a poem here by the great poet Wendell Berry, who's got birds in this poem too. And he talks about, you know, what do you do when all hell's breaking loose and the world's going to hell in a handbasket? So here's Wendell Berry with a beautiful baritone voice.
The peace of wild things. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
I just love that poem. It was a very famous poem. He wrote it during the Vietnam War when bombs were falling all over Vietnam. And he couldn't stay. He was a anti-Vietnam War protester. He's about 90 years old now, Kentucky farmer, environmental activist, just a tremendous individual, still writing short stories and poems and novels.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's pretty, isn't it? I mean, nature is a great place for solace in crazy times. And it's for your health too. Just even just going out and taking a walk for 10 minutes a day is supposed to be really good for your health. And if you can go into the woods or go into, you know, Wisconsin's got great parks. Milwaukee's got great city parks. We've got great state parks and county parks in this state. And if you can just find any time just to go out there, you know, see a wood duck like he's talking about, or a heron. Most of them are gone south now, but there's still some in the woodpeckers every day, and those those guys give me some pleasure too. So, you know, I just encourage people to enjoy nature, enjoy poetry, enjoy art and music like you do, Dom. I mean, there are ways to stay healthy and invigorated and off screen, you know, if you're at CNN.com or NewYorkTimes.com all day long, or if you're watching cable news, God forbid, it can get pretty depressing.
Well, a lot of my music's angry music, Matt, so I'm not sure that that's really what we're trying to get to. But I do think, and that was a beautiful poem, and thank you for sharing that and putting that out there. And the, you know, being in nature. And I grew up out in the country, and I think sometimes, you know, I take it for granted. When I was out in the country, I wanted to be in the city. You know what I mean? And now we're in the city, and I've really come back around to the nature and going out for the walks and enjoying the peace and the quiet, and to shut everything out and to just, you know, listen and be present for a moment and hear the different sounds going on around. And you know, if you're in the city parks, you know, there's certainly going to be you know some cars in the background, but you also have, you know, the water and the birds and the wind and the leaves and all those things. And I think it is important, because we're going to have, you know, times in our lives, and maybe some of those are coming up again, where we have, you know, difficult, you know, emotional, mental kind of things going on, and how to process and what everything means. And, you know, above and beyond the everyday kind of challenges that we have, these external things. And one of the things I've found to be helpful is to focus on the things that you can control. You know, we talk about a lot of these issues on politics, and, you know, none of these things are under our control. We're reporting on what happened, but we cannot control those things. And if we try to put our will into changing issues and things in the world that we cannot actually change and control, it gets really frustrating. So it's not about, you know, making the change. It's about making the change that you can make, because some things you can't do alone. Some things take a little more effort. Some things take a village, take a team, take a world. But you can control your actions. You can control how you think. You control the words that come out of your mouth. And sometimes it's a good exercise to maintain a little clarity in those regards. Final thoughts, Matt.
Yeah, I just think, you know, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to appreciate the people around us, you know, our families, our friends. They can get us through this period. We can get through this period together. We can't get through it alone. And we can't obsess about the things, as you say, we can't control.
All right. Jess, any final thoughts today?
Ditto.
Ditto. Thank you so much for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you, Matt Rostar. We'll see you again next week. Thank you, Jess P.S. on the board, trying to keep me in line. All you can do is try. Thank you to our fair audience. Stick around. Pete Schwabe, Nightlight, coming up next. We will be back tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the New People. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc., Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A tentative ceasefire deal has been reached between Israel and Hamas. The first phase would bring the release of 33 hostages, including two Americans held for more than 460 days. Boosting aid into Gaza and reconstruction after Israeli troops withdraw also up for grabs. ABC's Martha Raddatz has more.
The destruction there is enormous. 2.6 million people, 90% it is estimated, have been displaced, and Hamas says 46,000 have been killed.
President Biden says elements of the deal are similar to the plan he introduced last May. He delivers his final address to the nation tonight before leaving office. Confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill continue today for President-elect Donald Trump's key cabinet picks. It included Marco Rubio for Secretary of State and Pam Bondi, tapped to be Attorney General. Crews in Southern California still dealing with strong winds for one more night. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with